Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nazvarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. On January 14th, 2025, Burnaby City Council passed a motion that directed city staff to plan for and mitigate the risk of extreme weather events, such as flooding and wildfire, in the Burnaby Official Community Plan that is currently being developed. While this is a decision that was made with the recent Los Angeles wildfires in mind, according to City Council, the planning for this decision had been months in the making. To learn more about what the planning and mitigation of extreme weather events in Burnaby would look like, CJSF sat down for an interview with one of the leaders of this motion, Burnaby City Councilor Allison Gu. During the interview, we asked Councilor Gu to expand on the planning and mitigation methods that the city hopes to implement, as well as the areas in Burnaby that are at highest risk if an extreme weather event were to occur. Please take a listen.
So the official community plan is every municipality's blueprint for the next 20, 25 years. So Burnaby 2050 is the name of our next official community plan. It designates the land uses and the densities of those uses for every parcel of land in the city. So it's a really powerful planning tool that municipalities have. The provincial government just changed legislation that essentially says that the official community plan has more power than previously it used to. And so it's a really important way to be able to set priorities for the future. And this motion was directing staff to make sure that we're mapping out where regional hazards are happening or are likely to happen because of climate change, such as wildfire and flooding, and look at how we can make sure that we're layering on appropriate land uses and appropriate densities where those hazards are going to occur.
And to expand on that a bit, I noticed that one of the locations that was specifically cited in the motion was Burnaby Mountain and mm-hmm. the university and SFU community. What about Burnaby Mountain and SFU kind of make it a unique area that needs to be specifically addressed when considering climate emergencies?
Mm-hmm. So Burnaby Mountain, of course, is a very large forested area. It's designated as park. It is what we call the urban wildland interface, or the wildland urban interface, also known as the WUI. And when you have such close uses together, so you've got residential, you've got a dense amount of people, and you've got a dense amount of forest, as the threat of wildfire increases because of climate change, because of drier summers, because of a lack of proper forest management for decades, that means that you're exposing a lot more people to the risk of forest fire. And because the way that we build housing, the way that we have materials that are produced, mass consumption, there's just a lot more flammable materials now than what we manufactured, 40, 50 years ago. So the average living room will combust much quicker, like several minutes quicker than the average living room would have in the 1950s and 60s. And that's because the furniture that we create, it's a lot of, paper, cardboard, wood, put together with a bunch of plastic and glue. And that kind of stuff just ignites quicker. And so when you have these intersecting risks, they amplify each other. In respect to Burnaby Mountain, the risk further is amplified because of the TMX tank farm, of course, the Trans Mountain tank farm, and the amount, the quantity, the volume of extremely flammable liquid of oil petroleum product is further amplified by the risk of wildfire potentially spreading and igniting one of these tanks, and inversely, the risk of a human error or mechanical error creating a fire that starts at the tank farm and then spreads towards Burnaby Mountain.
You mentioned the pipeline there. I think maybe I could see one critique people having with, you know, a plan such as this, despite the fact that, you know, making sure there is preparation in place for climate emergencies is extremely important. There are still, you know, factors in regards to why this planning is, the reason the planning is being put forward is because of the increased prevalence of these climate emergencies due to, you know, ever persisting climate change. Is there plans in the OCP to also, you know, address more overarching systemic issues that sort of contribute to these increased climate emergencies?
Yeah, so unfortunately with those types of, you know, structures, they, one, are at a different level of government. So the city of Burnaby was in staunch opposition to the pipeline and the expansion of the project all the way through. But the federal government has jurisdiction over that and can override our powers. So we're limited in that sense. And then there's also limitations in terms of certain types of uses that are established grandfathered in uses. So we know that there's existing institutional refinery right alongside the shores. We know that there's the Trans Mountain Expansion Pipeline. The OCP changing that wouldn't change those uses immediately. So even if I was to say, this is a parcel of land that's a house right now, and I want it to be park or school in the future, when I designate that through the OCP, it essentially signals to the future what that will become, but it doesn't mean that the city of Burnaby is going to come and expropriate that land immediately. It doesn't mean any of that. And it doesn't necessarily at all change the market value of that house, especially if that land is going to be converted to a government ownership. They'll pay market price. So the OCP really, what it is important in changing is whether a property gets upzoned. And that upzoning is really kind of looking at how many more times people can live in this parcel of land. And what I'm saying is that, you know, that it's a very complicated process to be buying up properties that we know are at risk. They refer to that as managed retreat. This motion doesn't even call to that because we know we have a lot of questions to answer before we can realistically start to embark on those types of endeavors, such as funding. So what it's saying really is we shouldn't exacerbate the problem by putting a ton of people in an area that we know we're going to expose them to wildfire, flooding, other types of climate change induced hazards. And to take precautions in our kind of conflicting goals, because we have conflicting goals. We have a housing crisis. So we know we need to build more housing. We know we need to build dense housing. We know we need to build them in areas that are close to SkyTrain and transit. So how do we manage all of these conflicting tensions? Right now, thus far, we haven't necessarily put a language or addressed that tension and to kind of consider and balance those tensions, because we know in order to meet our housing goals, we'll, and if we don't build, you know, extra density in a specific area, then we know we're going to have to redistribute those housing units, those planned housing units elsewhere throughout the city. So how can we better plan for that? And where we can't redistribute those densities, how do we better create design standards that are required in new buildings so that people aren't exposed to undue risk for their property or for themselves? One example of that is for flooding. Historically, most, you know, high-rise buildings, larger buildings, they have their electrical units concentrated in the basements. And if we plan for, you know, a tower that is going to be in an area that floods, for example, the Still Creek area, right near Gilmore SkyTrain station, we know that those basements are likely going to flood. So we need to be creating requirements for that electrical equipment to be moved to the second floor or the third floor, and to look at ways that we can protect people, especially people whose safety and like livelihood relies on the operation of electrical equipment.
Once again, that was CJSF in conversation with Burnaby City Councilor Allison Gu on the recent motion that was passed to direct city staff to plan for and mitigate the risk of extreme weather events in Burnaby. Thank you so much for listening to this piece. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This piece would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also listen to this piece on frequencynews.ca.